Well, listen, hey, man, we have a podcast that's been going on for about 5 years. I think we're up to like 40,000 downloads. That's people all around the world who get to listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ for free. Amen. So we are grateful, and we try to exercise and take full advantage of all the various technologies that has been given to us. So if you follow the Safe House Ministry for any time, you'll find that here at the Safe House Ministry, God typically leads me to give us a theme for the whole year. He gives us a ministry for the whole year. And in that vein of what we talk about that for the whole year. So this particular year, 2021, he has given us the theme of reimagining God. And what I mean by reimagining God, what I mean by that is that most of us know God in a particular way in particular. What I mean by that is that when you come to God, some of us came to God when we were sick. Some of us came to God when we were in trouble. Some of us came to God when we were down on our luck. And now God has delivered us. We have a tendency to know him just that way. Let me break it down a little bit more for you. If you met me at the grocery store, you remember, say, that's the guy that I met at the grocery store. Or you always kind of remember how you met a person. It was right back here on this pillar back here that I met my wife in this very church 19 years ago next week. Come on, somebody. That right here in this very church. So I remember when I met my wife, you know, they say I may have seen her many times before, but I saw her that day. Amen. Back in August of 2000 when we had the convention here at the Greater Ransom Way of the Cross Church. And I saw her that day, and I remembered her from that point on. Amen. Amen. I say amen for me. Amen. Amen. I'm so grateful for First Lady Felicia Ely and the two children that she's bare us, and I'm just so grateful. I want to give honor to the Spirit of God and the pastor on Shepherd's Day. It happened to be also my uncle, and I'm just so grateful. And to all of you all who are all a part of my life, whether you know it or not, there's something that you've done that I take from each and every one of you. I don't think it's somebody that I know personally here that I don't have some kind of story, whether you took me fishing or you chastised me or gave me a little candy or you told on me. Oh, come on, somebody. But you are a part of my life, and I'm grateful, for it takes all of these things to make who you see standing here before you on today. And I'm grateful for each and every one of you. And I'm a proud citizen of Vance County. I'm a proud Southern Vance High School graduate. And I tell anybody that great things do come out of Vance County. So children, don't let anybody try to tell you that great things don't come out. There were some great ones before me, and there's going to be some great ones after me. Oh, come on, somebody. And I'm listening to it, and I'm seeing you walking, and you talking now. They don't know what the end is going to be. You might be the ugly duckling, but when you become forth and become the beautiful swan, then they all will want to attach. They all want to grab a hold. They all want a piece of the pot in. But you just keep on. You keep on going on, and God's going to see you through to the end. So as I was saying, so when you first meet somebody, or how you meet them, is how you have a tendency to know them. So when we say reimagining God, what we was talking about in all the different aspects. And every month we had a theme for that month and that sub under that. So last month we talked about the tools, and we talked about retooling. In June we talked about rest. And this month we've been talking about the body. And it just so happens today that it's also Shepherd's Day, so we're going to stay in that same thing. This is number four out of this series this month, the body. Just to give you a little bit of what we talked about, you know, the body, we talked about this. The subject for that was skin deep. So this whole series that we've been on this month is skin deep. And we preached on the first Sunday, don't let it get under your skin. We talk about the little things sometimes that we allow to bother us. You know, your skin has three layers. They call it the epidermis. Then you have the dermis, and then you have the hypodermis. Amen. And each one of those parts play a role in you. Your skin is the largest organ on your body. Do you not know when I look at you, I'm looking at death? Your hair is dead. Your nails are dead. Your skin is dead. All I see is death in you. Oh, come on, somebody. But when you start out there, we talk about letting the little things get under your skin. The Bible says it's the little foxes that destroy the vine. It's not the big things. Some of us are looking for the big things that we do, but it's that little bit of cheating you do every day. It's that little bit of when you dipping and dabbing a little bit here and a little bit dipping and dabbing over there and a little bit of not attending to things over here, that over time they have a tendency to become larger things. So we talked about that. Then we went on to the next part of that, was to be scratched but not torn. How many of you know that God sometimes scratches you and it just feels like that everything is going to go away? He feels like he's going to tear you apart, but it feels like it's not going to happen. But those of you all who have been mothers, amen, you remember the scratching, but weren't you glad you were scratching when that baby got here? They tell me you don't even remember the pain sometimes, or you're so happy with the end product, you don't even worry about the scratch, amen. And God has been scratching us. It's the prayer Jabez said, Lord, enlarge my territory. And sometimes for God to enlarge your territory, that means he has to take you through some things. He has to let some people talk about you, amen. He has to show you some things to let you know and realize that he is God, and without him, you would fail. And so we went through that. So I bring this all in combination until we get to this point today to continue on as we talk here in Shepherd's Day, amen. I'm going to get here to preach in a minute. So it takes me a little bit to get taken off. It's like a big jumbo jet. Amen. It takes a little bit to get in the air, but once it's airborne, amen, you're going to be all right for the ride. So will you turn with me to Acts, the 20th chapter, verses 28 through 30. I like to think that I'm a biblical scholar, amen, and I'm working on it. Since I am a scholar in the secular world, I have to be very careful what I say and how I say it. So therefore, you'll see most of the time I give you scripture and verse. That's just my training so that you can go back and you can chase behind me. Amen. I want you to find what I say to be true. If I challenge you on something, I want you to be able to research and find it for yourself. You can't just go on everything somebody tells you. You got to know something for yourself. Amen. As Ella Julius used to always say, see, I told y'all, y'all are part of me. You got to know something for yourself. God bless, brother, buddy. That was my friend. Amen. So Acts 20 and 28 through 30. And also grab for me St. John 10 and starting at verse 12. And hopefully we'll get through those two. And then maybe the last one we'll just see. I was asked to say, well, are you a hooper? I said, well, I can be whatever God needs me to be at the moment. So if the Spirit jump on me today, maybe I'll hoop. Maybe I don't. I told you I'm not a single, so don't expect a whole lot. Amen. But what you will expect that you leave here with your life changed and here with your thoughts being provoked and here when you leave here that you have something to chew on the rest of the weekend. If I've done that, then I've done my job. Amen. Amen. So Acts 20 and 28, and it says this. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. St. John 10 and 12, and it says this. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf cometh and leaveth his sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catches them and scatter the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine as the Father knoweth me. Even so now I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be a one fold and one shepherd. And Philippians 2 and 5, and I'll just read this. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also have highly exalted him and given him a name which is about every name, that the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and all things in the heaven and things in the earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, Lord. We ask that your words be, Lord Jesus, in my mouth. Lord, I ask that you look upon your people today, Lord Jesus, that this word, Lord Jesus, that it sinks, that it penetrates, oh God, that it grabs root, Lord, that it changes hearts, that it changes minds, it changes souls, oh God, that others may see, Lord Jesus, what it is that they must do to be saved, oh God, that someone will make a decision on today, Lord Jesus, that someone's mind might be changed, oh God, that someone's life might be inspired, oh God, Lord Jesus, by what is said on today. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, and we love you, and we praise your name. Lord, I ask that you watch over and keep those who are here with us, and those who, Lord, you are watching from afar, Lord, and those who may even listen to this later on. And I ask you to do all these things to others in the powerful name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, for we know this one thing, and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. So I read you a couple of different verses on this morning. And I want to give you my title, or my I have a title and a subtitle here this morning. And my title of our message this morning is, your pastor is a sheep herder, not a goat chaser. Your pastor is a sheep herder, not a goat chaser. And if I have to use for a subtitle, is shapeshifters. Shapeshifters. So in good academic pedagogy, you know, one must start with the definition so that we are all on the same page. Because if not, everybody has their definition of what a shepherd is. Everybody has their definition of what a goat is. So what we do is we typically lay out the definition that we all agree upon in the beginning. Whether you agree with my definition or not is besides the point. But I've told you from which vein that I'm going to explain this from. So we start out, what is a shepherd? And we find that as we look up on the internet, a shepherd is a person who tends and rears sheep. A shepherd is a person who tends and rears sheep. But then we also find, what is a goat? And I asked, and specifically, I asked, so what is a goat chaser? And I was very, very interested and shocked, and I found it to be interesting, what was a goat chaser? And they said a goat chaser is a person who chases clout. A person who chases power, a person who chases clout. Also, I was looking a little further. I said, well, let me find out, what is a goat herder? Well, the Urban Dictionary, you know, for those who, my parents who are a little bit behind, maybe a little bit, the Urban Dictionary is this kid's slang dictionary. This is how the kids talk when they say something's on fleek, you got drip, and all this kind of stuff. These little things that they say that we lost on, go to Urban Dictionary. I just helped you out right there. You can thank me later. And when you go to the Urban Dictionary, you look up goat herder. A goat herder is a girl who is on the verge of being attractive, but is not yet. A goat herder is on the verge of being attractive, but not yet. Y'all learn some interesting things on the internet. So then particularly that we read the Webster Dictionary of a goat herder. A goat herder is a person who tends a flock of goats. A person who attends a flock of goats. So now that we've laid all these definitions, I will be working from that context. So I know many of you asking, what is a shapeshifter? I know those who watch vampire movies and all this kind of stuff, you've heard of shapeshifters before. It's a mythological thing, or the ability to be able to change forms. You can change into whatever you want to change into. So I know some of you all, tell on yourself, you watch vampires and y'all watch all this kind of stuff. Amen. But a shapeshifter is not just, it just shut to that, but you are able to change forms. And this is going to be very important for where we're going. Last piece I want to give you is I'll take you back to your English class. I guess this will probably be English 400 for those who are in high school, of this literacy term called personification. Personification. What is personification? Personification is the device that allows you to give human characteristics to things that are not human. It allows you to give human characteristics to the things that are not human. So what do you mean? The Bible works a lot, most people would say, on personification. And then they said, what, the hand of God moved. Does God literally have hands? We don't know, but it's a personification to believe that if he had a hand so that you and I can understand. Are y'all with me? When the Bible said that he would keep you under his wing, does that mean God have wings? Some believe he do, but some say it's a personification so that you can understand what it means to be covered by a wing. So now when the Bible tells us that what, that we are the sheep, what does he give us? A personification to us that we're not literally sheep. But the way we act and the way we behave is like sheep-like behavior. Mm-hmm. So when the Bible said, among you will be what? Sheep in wolves' clothing. That means that you're going to have the personification of people who are really wolves who can shift-shape themselves to be sheep. Oh, come on, somebody. Are y'all with me this morning? So now as we go here a little bit here, I want to read to you a little bit. And I was thinking a little bit, say, okay, so now that we have the definition, you understand where I'm coming from. What is the difference between a sheep and a goat? A sheep and a goat. Well, as I was reading and I was studying this week and God giving me this message and I was studying, I found out that sheep and goat are very, very similar. There are only a handful of things that actually separate them from their genetic in their genetic code. It's only a handful of things that separate them the way that they look. So what you find, brothers and sisters, sometimes you can mistake a sheep for a goat. Sometimes you can mistake a sheep for a goat. So how do we know the difference between sheep and goat? Because you don't want your pastor to be a goat chaser, amen? Because if he's chasing goats, we know that goats have something. That goats have what they call a hard head, is what we see in the country. That goats have a tendency to want to do anything and everything they want to do. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm already preaching. You ain't got it. Look, because goats, you know, they have this curiosity that they do things on their own. They don't follow the flock. They go off and they wander off. And if the shepherd has to spend all his time chasing goats, then he's mean his eyes is off the flock. And now other goats can shipshake themselves and to be too ravenous wolves there in the place and now destroy the flock. See, do you not know that the one thing about sheep that you find, that sheep actually get really skittish when the flock is being broke up? That sheep know that there's safety in the flock. It's safety that when you come to church, it's safety when you get together with the saints. I know you don't want to be here all the time, but there's safety in numbers. Oh, come on, somebody. So that when you don't want to get broke up, and the devil's job is to do what? To come in and to divide. It's the oldest trick in the book. They call it divide and conquer. Amen. If you want to beat something, what do? Is you find how to subdivide it and you conquer it one piece at a time. Me being a mathematician, the first thing we tell people to do with complex problems is find the part that you know how to do and work on that first. Oh, come on, somebody. And then that part leads to something else you know how to do. And then that part leads to something else you know how to do. And if you're consistent over time, what you will find is now you'll solve the whole problem. Amen. When you find it, the Africans say that what? The elephant can be eaten, but he can be eaten one bite at a time. So anything that you want to do, you can do, but you have to find out to break it to the simplest form. And the simplest form, that's why I believe the Bible says it like this. It said that it's the small foxes that destroy, it's the foxes that destroy the vine. Not that they go in there and they climb and they eat all the grapes, but they nibble at the roots. The thing that gives us its nutrients, the things that start it. And what happens is, as brothers and sisters, we have a tendency not to look at the small things because we always worry about the big thing. But it's that one nail in your tire that'll keep your whole car from moving. Oh, come on, somebody. Cut your big toe off and let's find out how much you walk. Now, let me give you an ear egg and see how much you walk. See, it's these small things. The Bible said it's the tongue that's the smallest member of the body, but it can bring down buildings. Amen. It's the foolishness of the gospel that he allows it to be preached, that what lives can be transformed from that small member in the body that can do that. Oh, yes. Oh, come on, somebody. So then we find that what? That we look at these sheep and these goats. I find that goats have a tendency to be choosy. They tell me that goats won't eat any and everything, that they have to have the choice things of everything. They won't eat things that are high up. Oh, come on, somebody. They have to have things that they probably shouldn't have, even though they have the capacity to eat anything. They only want to eat choice things. That goats have a very strong diet. They have a strong personality. That goats, what? That you find that goats hate the rain. Oh, come on, somebody. How many of you know that you give them a little trouble? Give some people a little trouble and you'll find out how much they are sheep or a goat or not. Amen. Because a little trouble comes. The Bible says it rains on the just as well as the unjust. Amen. So that when a little trouble comes, the Bible says that what man's days are short and full of trouble. He didn't say that the trouble wouldn't last always, but he did tell us that what it was sure to come, and that he has prayed for us that in the day of testing that our faith would fail us not. Amen. So here you find goats, so they're scared of a little rain. Amen. They don't like to get wet. Then you find the goats also have wide eyes, they tell me. So if you look at most animal eyes, they're animal eyes that they have a slit that goes vertical. Amen. But if you go taking close attention to a goat, his eyes are actually turned the other way. That's why his eyes look oblong. Why? Because his pupils lay the long way, so to speak. Amen. Hamburger style, if you will, if it's for my kids. Amen. So his pupils long, hamburger style, so that they're the longer way. Why are they long? Because now he can see almost completely around him, because he has to watch out for himself. See, when you are under the good shepherd, when you being a good sheep, when you under there and you're doing what God has called you to do, how many of you know you don't even have to look out for yourself? Because he's already looked out for you before you looked out for yourself. He already made a way of escape before you thought thought about it. He already opened up a door before you even knew the situation was coming. He saw it coming from long view, but no, when you're the goat, you gotta always have your head on the swivel. This is why you always worried about somebody saying something about you, because you don't know whether that's gonna lead to something else. You don't know if this is gonna go down a road that I don't know. Why? Because I'm having to fend for myself. But my Bible reminds me that he said that if I take care of the birds of the air, if I can take care of them, then certainly I can do more than take care of you. Oh, come on, somebody. So here we know that sheep don't have to worry about anything. Why? Because they have the power of the flock and the good shepherd looks over them. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, you're chasing goats today. So then we find out the goat, what? He's smart. He's fast. But he's very emotional. Oh, come on, somebody. How many of us get caught up in our emotions sometimes? I tell our church, the Safe House, all the time that do not make emotional decisions. I cannot tell you not one emotional decision I can think of that I made that worked out well for me. Because when we ever make emotional decisions, we have a tendency to do them in the right now. I tell them all the time to step away from it. Walk away from it for weeks. Walk away from it for a moment so that you don't make a mistake in the moment of your feelings. Amen. And so oftentimes we find that goats operate this way. That goats are very emotional. If they can talk to you, they will tell you about their feelings. If they can talk to you, they will give you some things about it. If they can talk to you, they will dump everything about them right on you. So that what, now that you are down and you're burdened and you're carrying around things that you shouldn't be carrying. Oh, come on, somebody. There's some goat spirit sometimes in the church, and we got to be careful. How do we know a goat? Because there's another sheep can point another goat out, amen. Because he know that something different about him, amen. His tail don't stick as high. They tell me that the goat, his tail sticks in the air. Come on, somebody. Because what, that's his mentality, that he thinks he's better than everybody else. That the goat's tail stick up, but the sheep, his tail sits down. He's humble. He's humble. You can control the sheep. You can get the sheep to move. But because of the mentality of the sheep knows that I have to stay close to the good shepherd. Because the shepherd watches over me. The shepherd makes sure that I'm taken care of. And then as we continue to look at these sheep, I was looking here, as we continue to study that, I found that believe it or not, you can make a sheep and a goat. Oh, come on, somebody. A sheep and a goat can actually mate and have a baby. A sheep and a goat can actually mate and have a baby. They call it a geep. G-E-E-P. A geep. It's all right to laugh in the house of the Lord. It's a geep. But what we find about geeks is that they're extremely rare. Why? Because they are unequally yoked. And when you unequally yoked, nothing good can come about it. You might mate and have a baby, but I'm telling you today that it's going to die. I'm telling you today that nothing's going to prosper from that. Why? Because it's not been meant to be to happen. Sometimes we get in a place that we make things happen. Sometimes we get in a place we force things to happen. And we create all these little geeks that around, and we give it our attention, and we give it our effort, and we give it our strength, and we give it our time just to what? To watch it die on the vine. Look it up, somebody. I don't make this stuff up. I tell you, I'm a researcher first. A geep. I thought that was funny. A geep. And you'll see this little ugly little thing that knows what is destined to die. Because he was not meant to be here like that. How many times do we know we have goats in our midst? And yet, here we are. We want to hook up with them. And producing geeps. And giving that geep all our time. All our effort. Pastor, as you do something. No, Pastor, I'm busy. I'm tending my geep. Well, Pastor, ask you to come pray. No, Pastor, I can't do that. My kids are in sports. I'm tending my geep. Well, Pastor, we got this going on, and my friends will come over. I'm attending my geep. See, we got to watch this, these little things that we know are going to die, but what we give birth to them when God said, what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things I will add unto you. He also tells us, well, I will give you the desires of your heart. You can look at that twofold. You can say that, look, these are some things that I desire. He give them to me, or does he drop them from heaven and put them in my heart? Oh, come on, somebody. Either way, they're in your heart, and he said that he would give them to you. No good thing would he hold from you. But yet we continue to make geeps. Oh, I'm going to leave that one alone. I'm not pastor of this church. I'm supposed to come in here and do that. Amen. I hear you, a bishop. All right. So now you have the females. The female goats are known as nannies. I find it interesting that I think about a nanny. I think about what? Someone who takes care of, someone who is nurturing, and whose arms are around them and who's pulling them together. And I find it interesting that what she's called a nanny. Nanny or nagger? It could be either one. Then you find the male. They call the male adult goat a billy. And they call the kid goat a kid. And I found it funny. I was thinking, Billy the kid, was he a male goat or he was a kid? So, you know, he had this bank bob. I said, Billy the kid. So they made him goat and kid at the same time. I guess they couldn't make up what he wanted to be. But then when we look at the females on the sheep side, they call her an ewe. The male is known as a ram. And the way you can tell the two are different is that a goat's horns kind of are short. They're thin and they're sharp. A goat likes to butt. He'll stick whatever he can stick. And don't think of any consequences of it. Versus the sheep has thick horns. They're made to go to test the time. They're laid back. So that they're there to let you know that if I need to, I can. But it's not in my nature to come around and just be bucking you. If I need to defend myself because no one else is around, you better be ready, buddy. It's about to be on. As Tony Baker said, it's going to be Kirkpatrick's going on in here. Amen. He's going to be ramming and ramming and ramming until there's no day and no tomorrow. But nonetheless, he has them. See, some of us as sheep, you know, we have power, but God has told us what? That we exercise the power when he's released us to do so. Yeah. There's times that you might have to fend for yourself, but most of the time it's what? He's told the shepherd to be on the wall. And as the shepherd is there on the wall, what is he doing? He's tending to the sheep. So now we find here, as you look at those two and we go back and look, the Bible tells us that they give the Jesus the personification of the Lamb of God. What is a lamb? A lamb is a sheep, but only in the first year. You know, we was talking about it on the ride down here. We was talking about lamb chops, and Brother Alex cooked some mean lamb chops, and Pastor likes some lollipop lamb chops. Amen. And we was talking about, and Sister Pam was talking about, but they so expensive. I said, because they so little. And it's an early sheep. So I find it interesting that the Bible talks about him being the Lamb of God. That what? Lambs are come here almost sincerely just to be sacrificed. Because after a certain point in time, they become too tough. Lambs are tender. So they can be what? Massaged. They can be exercised. They can be molded. And this is why he tells us to be what? Be like sheep. And we start out as a lamb, and this is why he tells us to protect us and be protected so that what you can get molded. So when you become full size sheep, that you already molded in what he wants you to be. Amen. The Bible tells us that what even Jesus himself is a shapeshifter. He changes forms all the time. He do whatever it is you need him to do. If you need a way made, he's a way maker. He's Elohim. He's El Shaddai, lily of the valley, bright and morning star. Mm-hmm. He's all of those things. So he shifts to every one of you. And the truth of the matter is, you shift to get your man enough. Let's find out something to do. What do you shift to? Do you shift to goat to sheep? Oh, come on, somebody. You know, if somebody then pushed your buttons, oh, come on, because Pastor, I can talk about me. I just talk about me. Sometimes you push my button, I got some goat in me too. And you push the button, you might find it. And you'll find my little horns come up too. And I find it interesting, every picture you see of the devil that people have made of the devil, or some kind of personification of the devil is always equated to what? Goat. Amen. Go look it up. I don't make this stuff up, y'all. He's always equated to goat. So what? Therefore, Jesus is what? Known as the lamb, and he's known as the goat. Now, if you notice, remember how close they are. Y'all think this is by circumstance? It just happened to happen? Maybe I'm talking to myself. But they are so close. And the Bible tells us that what? They were so close. There were some subtle differences. And this is why sometimes it's hard to tell the difference, because if you don't know all the characteristics of the goats, if you don't know all the things that the goat do and the small things that he brings to the table. See, sometimes we just so worried about the big things, but it's the small stuff. When you eat and they don't want to eat. When you walking around, their tail is stuck in the air. When you getting your coat shaved, they ain't getting theirs cut. Because you know your pastor grooming you every single Sunday morning. He's cutting off that excess wool. You got too much, you're going to suffer out there. Let me get a little bit of that off you. So every Monday, every time we come in here, what? We're being groomed and prepared to go out to be able to help somebody else. But that shit, that goat, you ain't touching his hair. He coming in and leaving the same way he came. So what we find here is that what? Now we have to be careful in the sense that what? We don't want our pastor to spend his time chasing goats. Oh, come on, somebody. Because there's sheep of this, not of this fold, that need to be in this place. There's some people in Vance County that need to be in this place. There's some people who are looking for authenticity. There's some people who are looking for somebody just to say, are they real? I hear it more than a little bit. Are they real? Are they real? And what we have to find is that what? We all have some shapeshift in us. But every time I come, Lord, cut a little bit more of that off me. This is what Paul talks about. It's the perfecting of the saints. You're not perfect yet. So maybe your tail don't stick up this week, but it might come up next week. Maybe you didn't do that this day, but you do that the next day. And that's what it's a constant battle. This is why Paul reminds us that what? We die daily. I believe he prayed to God. He said, I prayed 3 times for you to remove this from me. But what does he tell him? My grace is sufficient. Meaning that what? His grace is sufficient because I'm working in this and I'm going forward in this because I'm going forward to meet the high call that he's called before me. But if I do slip, if I do fall along the way, that he has me covered. See, we have people today who want to abuse grace. They're like, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do, and God got me. Mm-hmm, he got you all right. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. He said, if you were lukewarm, what I would do? I would spew you out of my mouth. See, the difference, you know, when you're being hot or cold, he said, I prefer you be hot or cold. Because if you're cold, at least you can preserve. If you're hot, we know you're thriving. But if you're lukewarm, you get disease. Lukewarm water grows disease. Oh, yeah, I shouldn't tell on myself like this. I was getting up this morning, and some of you all know I travel a lot. Amen, for my job, because we've been having a lot of stuff going on. And I left a cup on the side of my bed. And I don't know if my wife knew it was over there. And I happened to get it last night because I hadn't been home all week. And I looked, and I saw it was some mold in that cup. I said, Lord, what is this doing in here? Sorry, baby. And as I saw, it was a little mold in a cup. I noticed that I went to go drop it out. I saw, ooh, it was a little bit of residue of maybe some Coca-Cola or something that I had in there that had grown mold because it's been there for what? All week, just in room temperature. And that room temperature is when you grow stuff. This is what people are talking about. Are you authentic? Either you're going to be with us or you with them. Either you game banging or you're not. As they said, you don't want to be a wankster, right? Either you're doing it or you're not. For my kids, they know what that is. I throw that in for them every now and then. So what? If you about it, if they say, as they say, you about it or you about it? Come on, kids. Y'all help me out. I'm giving y'all some. Amen. So these things that he's telling us and he's put before us to make a decision. And what I submit to you today, brothers and sisters, that God has given you already the Spirit, but it's up for you to decide. It's not my decision. It's your decision that you make every single day, every single second, every single moment of your life. They've been told that you make almost 3,000 decisions per day. 3,000 decisions per day. Some of them you're going to miss tomorrow. I understand that. This is why his grace is sufficient. But for those that you can control, for those that you can watch, will you help your pastor and help him not chase goats? Will you help your pastor stand firm? Will you help him? I'm trying to tell you, they say every day there's like 1,000 pastors quitting. And the Bible already told us that some of them were quitting because they weren't hired. Oh, come on, somebody. I read that to you, didn't I? It said that some of them was quitting because they wasn't hired. And it said that as soon as they saw that thing ship shaping to a wolf, then what did they do? They backed away. They walked away. I ain't getting paid for that. I've been pastor Safe House Church for what, going on 4 years. I ain't been paid not one time. I ain't getting paid for that. Because they clout chasers. That's that other goat I was talking about. And oftentimes the kids talk about goat in the street is what? The greatest of all time. As a acronym. But I find it interesting. Now after I've been studying this, I never look at goat just the same. I was messing with my wife this morning. And I was poking. I said, "You old goat." And I said, "Oh, no, that's my sermon today." And I found out that old goat means that's a loose woman. So she ain't that. I said, I told her, "I can't call you that no more." Because when you've been studying to show yourself approved, you find out some things. You know, people used to call them old goat, or giant turkey, all these kind of stuff. We come up, you got to watch what you say. Because now I'm starting to find out these things have definitions. And I'm thinking I'm using it one way, but it's completely something else. And because they won't hear when I laid the foundation like I did for you all today, you know exactly what I'm talking about when I say personification. You know exactly what I talk about when I say shepherd. So now if they're not on the same level with us, if they're not have the same level of understanding with us, then they have a tendency to walk away with a miscommunication. I don't know about you, but most of my problems stem from miscommunication. I sent the text and was playing with one of my sisters. The next thing I know, woo, Lord, it blew up to something else I didn't expect it to be. And sometimes it's miscommunication. Why? Because their definition is not your definition. This is why we got to stick to that 66 books, that canonized book. I know they say, what about the book of Maccabees, the lost books of the Bible, all of this and that the men wrote about. I know what was left on record for me. I know what's got me through so far. I know where it's taken me. I know how God has changed my life. I know how he's opened up doors. I know how he's provided for my family. And I know how he's still keeping us alive. So I'm working off the 66 myself. You can go find the other 46. Make it a cool 100. But nonetheless, for me and my house, we decided this is what we're going to stick to. Amen. So now that we all working on the same definition, therefore I can go out in the streets and see my brother. The Bible says, judge yes, ye be judged by what? That same accordance. So yeah, you can judge. Just know that you can be judged by the same stick. So when I see that going on and I say something about it, because I am my brother's keeper. Yes, I am iron sharpens iron. Which means that what? There's going to be some friction. I ain't seen iron sharpen iron without it getting hot yet. And because there's going to be some friction, that means that some things are going to be shaved off. And since some things are going to be shaved off, it's going to metamorph, meaning that it's going to change. And when it changes, it's going to get hot. So because I have a little strife with my uncle, I have a little strife with my brother, this don't mean that I've thrown them away. We're just sharpening each other. See, we ain't got to the point now. We can't say nothing to nobody without somebody getting offended about eating and everything. And what I'm really trying to do is buffer you. Because I know there's another world out there who is not going to be so kind that your tongue going to have to be sharp. You're going to know when to shut your mouth and when not to say nothing. And sometimes because you're not saying nothing don't mean that you've given up on the faith. Amen. I just learned from Paul. He said that I dusted my feet off and I went to the next city. So I wouldn't use my energy on somebody who didn't want it. Stop chasing goats. So often, many times, I found myself as a young man that I chased a lot of goats. They were bucking and fighting the whole time and knew they were fighting the whole time. I knew they were fighting, but it was this thing in me. The Bible said that it's harder to win a man, you know, win a man that's offended in the strong city. And I was determined I was going to win the strong city. And yet losing all the little battles along the way. So I don't fight with people anymore. This is the Bible. I believe in the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. If you don't believe he died and he rose, then we have nothing to talk about. Amen. We can be friends. We can talk about other stuff, but we ain't on that. Now, if we on that, then we can discuss doctrine. We can debate about that. Can she do this? Can they do that? We can have those kind of conversations. But the important stuff, why? Because the world is watching, and they looking to see who's authentic. Yeah. They just want to know who's real. They want to know, you know, what do you do when this happens to you? Because there's this thing that people don't think things happen to us as believers because we hide it too well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because we plan it as that, no, I don't have any trouble. That everything works out the way. Me and my wife don't ever argue. That me and my wife don't ever go through things. We don't have financial difficulties. We don't get sick in our bodies. We don't want to get in each other's throat. No, you don't do that because they the pastor. If the walls can talk. Amen. But the difference is because of our faith. That I know when we break down to that point, as I tell everybody, well, faith, I know she ain't going nowhere, I ain't going nowhere, so we might as well figure it out. And then you start building again. And then the next time I know, Peter, just shut your mouth. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. Yeah, I'm sorry, dear. So my daddy said my name was Peter Master Ely. I almost thought it was Peter Sorry Ely. Amen. Because I was always sorry. Sorry. Amen. My men folk, y'all know y'all can appreciate that. But as I come to a close today, I'm not going to belabor your point anymore, that we want to look at this part and discover this part and look at that. Oftentimes, we find ourselves ship-shaping. And as we ship-shape, we got to make sure that we continue, that we shape in the way that God have us to go. The Bible said that he had formed man. He's given you a form. He's already told you what you should be. And it's our job to work towards that more and more every single day. And therefore, now he has what? The shepherd's job is what? To corral the sheep. The good shepherd. And the good shepherd, what? The good shepherd, you know, the Bible talks about being a good shepherd. So that tells me automatically there must be somebody who's a bad shepherd. He wouldn't give me that adjective to make sure that this one was good versus this one being bad. So he said that the good shepherd do what? He watches out for the sheep. The good shepherd does what? Sometimes he poke the sheep. So if the pastor poke you, it ain't nothing for you to get upset about. Just get where you're supposed to be because he's watching out for you. You know, I've learned some things since, you know, I've been a pastor, amen, and I ain't got a whole lot of folk with us just yet, you know, and God's working on that because that's his business, not mine. I just do whatever he tells me to do. And as I find that, you know, sometimes you poke people and you poke things and some things, I don't know if I really want to say that. And those who walked in this space, you know, because you were like, well, if I say that, are they going to get upset? If I say this, is it going to be turned to this? Or are they going to walk away? But then sometimes you got to step back. And even us good shepherds, you find out that, you know what? If God called them, if God wanted them here, then what? He'll handle it. And all I got to do is what? Tell them. And if they walk away, yes, my feelings will be hurt. Because that's the human side of me. Because when you have a pastor's heart, you don't want to see anybody lost. You don't want to see anybody walk away. You don't want to see anybody walk to certain destruction. But at the same time, I'm reminded it was a choice that they made. So they desired to ship-shape themselves. Maybe this is one of the goats that was already here that's just about to be a wolf and they need to come out here anyway. So I learned when people say they want to go, we love you. We bless you. We're not going to curse you. We're not going to pull you down. We're going to send you with God's speed and we're going to send you on forward. And you know, if you come back around, God bless you. Why? Because it's not my church anyway. I didn't die for anybody. I ain't shed any blood for anybody. I don't even know if I want to shed it for myself. So not let somebody else. So when you are reminded about this, you're reminded that what? These things are in us, that we are what? All of us, the Bible says, we all have this thing in us because we were born into sin. Yes, now we're filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yes, but you still have a choice every single day that you choose who you want to serve. That every day you have the opportunity to make the choice, and the choice is always yours. Yeah. If you want a good pastor, if you want your pastor not to be a goat herder, be a good sheep. It's that simple. And if you can be a good sheep, then that allows him to do what? To care for more sheep. But if he got to spend all his time taking care of 50, God can't give him 100. Because he said that boy wore out with 50. That 50 is giving him you know what. See, you say you want to grow. Right? You want more. And the Bible always tells us that he will put no more on you than you can bear. If I got 50 goats, Lord, well, you know I got all I can handle. This is where I work. And I said, y'all, we got to be better sheep. Because if you be better sheep, then he'll allow some more sheep to come. And sheep attract sheep. Mm-hmm. The Bible said what? You reproduce after your kind. So how do we get more? Be more. And just like the goat, you reproduce after your kind, right? So if you get goats, you can get more goats too. So I'm not going to belabor the point. I'm done. God bless you all. I love you. I hope that I've said something, that something has been said to come forth on today to get you to think a little bit different about the goat things in your life. Do you find yourself thinking more than you ought? Or you find yourself in the place that you're not making good decisions, that you find yourself in a place that you're being a burden more than you are a help. Oh, come on, somebody. I want to be a help to the ministry. There are times when, you know, pastor needs to be at your side, and we know those times, but, you know, I stop my toe, pastor. What do I need to wear, pastor? Oh, I can't. No, sometimes God has given you this ability to make these decisions for yourself. He calls it growing from milk to meat in the Bible. That we are to grow what? That we are to, you know, start as a child. I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And God is asking us, look, it's time for us to grow up a little bit more. Amen. This pandemic stuff, this stuff is probably going to be with us the rest of our lives. Yeah. It is. You know, it'll change forms. Hopefully it'll keep getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And it'll be just like, you know, catching the flu. And, you know, and people will deal with it. But even in this, people are really examining themselves. Yeah. And they're asking because they see their brothers and their sisters going on. And what we want to do is we want to be in place that when somebody reaches out, it doesn't mean that you are perfect, saints. Stop looking for perfection. Amen. If you perfect, you're probably going to be up here. Lay the horizontal way. Because as soon as you get there, you want to get out of here because you don't want to mess it up. Amen. I know I do. So don't look for perfection, but reach out to somebody else. Hey, look, I'm not perfect, but what I do know. Silver and gold have I none, but what I, such as I do have, I freely give unto you. And we be examples of this, and that we walk in this walk, and we talk in this talk. And you know, are you going to mess up sometime? Yes. I mess up. You mess up. But the Bible said, well, a just man falleth 7 times. But what makes him just is that way. He realizes he can get up. You can get up again. Don't make your pastor a goat herder. Let him corral sheep. God bless you all. I love you all. At this time, I want to say one thing. This ring always does that. Amen. Here at the Safe House Church, we want to be a blessing. This morning, we did put $500 in the offering. Amen. We believe in sowing wherever we go. And we don't come for his throne empty-handed. And also, we want to be a blessing to your shepherd. Amen. And so this is for him. Preston, we have Preston come up. We have a gift of $500 from the Safe House Church to Pastor Michael Austin. And we just want to bless you. And this is yours, and you spend it on you. I know how we are. You know, we put stuff back in the church, but this is for you to do whatever you want. Amen. You can turn the mic off. We ain't asking no W-2, no W-9, none of this stuff. You do whatever you want to do with it. And we just want to be a blessing to you. Amen. So at this time, we want to turn the service over to whoever's in charge. I hope God bless you all. We love you all. And I hope that there was something said on this day that you saw that would bless you and take you to the next level.